So I want to do two little messages. I've got little something I want us to look at, and then I want to finish Gideon and today, and neither one of these be long. But Vivian, if you would look up or put up Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 11 and 12. A minute. I didn't give you that. That scripture. But Ephesians chapter 4. This is verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In verse 12 again, it says, for the equipping of the saints. You're the saints.
Yes, amen.
Brothers and sisters, you're the saints.
Amen.
Amen. The fivefold ministry equips the saints for the working of the ministry.
Yes, glory.
Now I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21 is the way Christians should behave. It's a description of what is expected of Christians, Christian behavior. And that particular passage of Scripture is one that the fivefold ministry should be teaching the people of the church, the body of Christ. Amen? Our behavior. You understand what I'm saying, please? Okay. Verse number 15 makes a statement, something we are to do in our behavior as Christians. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep. Amen. I was thinking of this membership Sunday. Membership in the body of Christ into a local church should be something that is valued, something that is just a overwhelming joy to be part of the local body of Christ. It should be something that we celebrate. A joy that we celebrate. My grandson, and he ain't gonna like this, me talking about him, but yesterday he went to a competition in his school, and out of all the schools here, intermediate schools, 57 trumpet players did a tryout, a test in front of these people, and Logan came out ninth out of 57. Wow. Yeah. To me, that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Right? And that's something we should celebrate about.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay? So, two things this morning. Celebrating the membership. Celebrating Logan. He also intercepted a pass a few weeks back in playing football.
Wow.
I mean, come on. You've got family members that have done some good things, and let's brag on them. Amen? And that's part of this Christian walk. That's part of it. We rejoice with those who rejoice.
Yes, we do.
Amen? And we weep with those that weep.
Amen.
Today, my family's weeping. over the next few weeks. My family will be weak. So there's something that I'm trying to pass on, okay? We rejoice with those who rejoice because it's precious.
Yeah. Amen.
And we weep with those that weep because that's precious.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Years ago, my son had a little boy that was stillborn. And some of you may remember Randy Hadler. Randy came to the hospital and he didn't leave us. He didn't talk to us. He just helped. Got bottles of water. Just whatever he could do. It wasn't a social time. It wasn't a time that I had to tell him to go home because he'd been up there too long. It was just, he was there for us. He was there. And that struck a nerve in me that we don't have to have all the right words. We don't have to do anything except be there.
That's right.
Be there.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about our presence. I'm talking about our support. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
That's part of our Christian behavior.
Amen.
That's part of the way we need to act and do, and people see that. And people say, that's how a Christian's supposed to act.
Amen.
Amen. Your witness is in your behavior.
That's right.
That's right.
Right? Now, I'm not saying that, folks, to get more attention.
Right.
Please. I'm saying that because that's our behavior. And I think so many times we decide that we don't know what to say or what to do, so we don't do anything.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And then it's not the point of doing. The point is support. The point is someone knowing you're able, you're available, you're willing, and you do it.
That's true.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Prayer moves mountains.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So I wanted to share that with you this morning in respect to Jackie, and I just ask you to consider when something bad happens, let's stand in support.
Amen.
Let's be there for somebody. And folks, thank you for all the support you give us. A lot of times the preacher gets support and other people don't. So let's support all of us, each person, each family.
Amen.
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 Because we're in this joyous group that's the body of Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Enough said.
Amen.
All right, I want to talk to you about Gideon and finish Gideon. I worked during the week to get this message, so I'm going to give it to you. I don't want it. It's too bad.
Amen.
If you include today's message, then it will be 5 weeks that we have been studying the life and times of Gideon, who you will remember the angel of the Lord said he was a mighty man of valor. Now, that name was not an appropriate... Excuse me just a minute. I don't want to be a mess up here.
Oh,
wow.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Gideon had become God's man. We know that from the story that we've read already. And when God finds you, man, when God finds his man, he doesn't give up on you. He didn't give up on Gideon. He kept working with him until Gideon became his man. Now, I want to continue our story today in Judges chapter 7, verse 19 through 25. Amen? 19 through 25. And holler when you're there.
Amen.
You there?
Yes.
Okay. So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Verse 20. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Verse 22. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zeramra, as far as the border of Abel Mahola by Tabith. Wow. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Verse 24. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Verse 25. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb. And Zeeb, they killed at the winepress of Zeeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now, this is a thrilling event and a miraculous outcome. God used Gideon and his warriors, amen, the underdogs, to win this battle. Amen? To win this battle, severe underdogs. And 300 men had been divided into three groups, 100 in each group, and Gideon gave every man a horn, a clay jar with a torch inside of it. Just after midnight, the Israelite army surrounded the Midianite camp, and on the given signal, they blew their horns, broke the clay jars, and revealed the flames hidden in each pitcher. The Midianites panicked as the Israelites blew their horns. The Bible tells us that the Lord caused the enemy warriors to fight one another. Amen. And those who weren't killed fled in the confusion.
Glory.
We're getting out of here. Years ago, I picked up a little phrase that I'm sure you use as well. I know you have said, "I love it when a plan comes together." Amen. And of course, God's plan always comes together.
Yes.
Always. Now, right here, I'd like to review a part of the story that we did cover last week, because this part is really one of the most important in this teaching. It's something you and I certainly need to understand. Let's consider the weapons used in this warfare. Hear me now, because you don't want to miss this. You need to know about your spiritual weapons. There are three things the Israelite army gathered up as they left the camp in the middle of the night: a trumpet or a ram's horn, a jar, which is a clay pitcher or a clay vessel, and a lamp or torch pre-lit inside the jar. And when we recognize what these three items represent, then we understand that they were and are the perfect weapons against those enemies and our enemies. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "For our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." And I want to look at that same scripture in the message here, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6 in the message. It says this: "The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there.
Amen.
The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way, never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture.
Yes.
We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ." In verse 6, "Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity."
Thank you, Father.
So back to Gideon's three offensive weapons: a trumpet or a ram's horn, a jar, which is a clay pitcher or a clay vessel, and a lamp or torch pre-lit inside of the jar. A trumpet symbolizes the word of God.
Yes.
It symbolizes the word of God. That weapon, that trumpet weapon, symbolize the word of God or a voice or a testimony. They had a testimony. Their testimony was, "God is with us."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Their testimony was, "Our God is mighty."
Yes. Amen.
Their testimony was, "Our God answers prayer." And folks, you have a testimony. You also have the word of God. Amen. Use them to defeat your enemy. Amen. Use them to defeat your enemy. Then Gideon's second weapon was the pitcher. We can call it a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, notice that it was a pitcher that was made out of clay. It makes me think of what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed." My family is not crushed.
Amen.
Amen.
We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies.
Amen.
It is interesting that for the lamp to show its light, the clay jar had to be broken. And I can relate to that, as we all can, because we've all been broken. Amen?
Amen.
We all have a testimony, a story, if you will. And we are all examples of how God takes broken things and does amazing work with us and through us. It is truly astounding how God takes the brokenness of our lives and uses it for His glory. Amen. The third weapon of it was the lamp or torch within the jar. This lamp was really a flame, a burning wick inside that clay pot. Actually, it represents the flame of God, the same flame that resides in every believer today. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. We should always allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our personal battles.
Amen.
Don't let your temper lead you. Let the Holy Spirit lead
yes.
you.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, when we're fighting a spiritual battle, we do not need an AK-47 or a rocket launcher. It won't work.
No.
Our weapons are not carnal. They are designed to defeat the spiritual enemies that are sent to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen.
That's it.
So that finishes the biblical account of Gideon. But what is the lesson that you and I can receive from Gideon's story? What exactly is God teaching us? Well, I think he's teaching us that you don't have to be somebody special to do something special.
Amen.
You don't have to be somebody special to do something special.
Amen.
Amen. One of the biggest lies that the devil whispers in the ear of the believer is this: God only uses special people. God only uses special people. But like all lies of the devil, this one is based on a half-truth. God does use special people. But God doesn't use them because they are special. They are special because God uses them.
Right on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let me repeat that. God does use special people, but God doesn't use them because they are special. They are special because God uses them.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen to the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, let's go back to Gideon in Judges chapter 7, verse 21 and 22. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerarah, as far as the border of Abel Mahola by Tabith.
You're getting it.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't make those names easy.
Yeah, that's hard.
Now, it's a shame that most of us do not recognize just how special we really are. Many of us are continually evaluating ourselves. We compare ourselves to others, then immediately start picking ourselves apart. I'm not as athletic as. I'm not as smart as. I'm not as good looking as. I'm not as outgoing as. I'm not as gifted as. I'm not as talented as. And listen, we Christians are excellent at doing these negative self-evaluations and finding all the flaws. Amen?
Amen.
Do I have an amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. But God looks at you very differently. If you want to know the truth, most of your peers look at you differently. Amen? lot different than what you look at yourself, how you look at yourself. God says you are chosen. Amen. You're chosen. Amen. God says you are a royal priest and you are holy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God says you are a peculiar person. And that doesn't mean weird. It means uniquely wonderful.
Hallelujah.
Uniquely wonderful. Hallelujah. You are God's creation and His very own possession. Amen?
Amen?
And whenever the enemy attacks, God provides a weapon for your defense. He will use whatever is in your hand for that weapon. Amen? For David, it was a sling and a stone. For Moses, it was a staff. For Samson, it was donkey's jawbone. For a little boy, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. So let me ask you, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Whatever you possess, God will use it to bring you a victory. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
God will use it to bring you a victory. So looking back at the story of Gideon, the Midianites had come to become confused upon seeing the flames and hearing the trumpets, and in their confusion, the enemy turned on each other. Now, this I love this. Y'all know God has a sense of humor. Judges chapter 7, verse 22. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Mahala by Tabith. All right, now.
We don't care.
And the army fled to Beth Acacia. What does Beth Acacia mean?
House of
thorns.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
Toward Zerah. What does that mean? Perplexed and confused.
Perplexed and confused to the house of thorns.
And as far as the border of Abel Mahala means sickness and sorrow. So these inmates, they were on the run.
Yeah.
And they run to the house of thorns, a place of being perplexed and confused, and then ended up cursed with sickness and sorrow.
Oh, wow.
So they get for coming against
Israel. That's it. God takes care of things. And it's so funny that He names them way ahead of time. And then these people had to laugh. They knew what those words meant. They just had to laugh that the Midianites ended up at the house of thorns.
Amen.
Wow. I think the enemy stepped in their own trap. Now, what about these other Bible heroes we mentioned? Let's read what they had to say when they got in a tight spot. Moses seemed trapped. He and the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea. But what do we hear him say? Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever." Let's consider Jehoshaphat. What he was facing, 3 armies were coming to destroy Judah. So he, the king, declared a fast, and the whole nation prayed and sought the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 7. And he, a prophet, said, "Listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Hallelujah.
Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. and you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And then verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sets ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. What did David say when he came against the giant? 1 Samuel 17:45-46. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel."
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Hallelujah.
It is amazing what the Lord does with simple, ordinary people who will believe they can be used of God to do amazing, extraordinary things. You may think God can never use someone like you, but our story assures us if God can use Gideon, he can use anybody. Amen. You may think that God would never want to use someone like you, but you are just the kind of person he wants to raise up. It is my prayer that this series has encouraged you and assured you that as a child of God, he wants to use you in his ministry. Amen?
Yes, Lord.
You are already a member of God's holy army. So now, just begin listening for his voice and get ready to receive your marching orders.
Amen.
Praise be to God, folks.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody can shout hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Thank
you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So let's pray together.
Army of God.
Thank you, Lord.
We are the army of God.
Lord Jesus, we just love you. We thank you for today. Lord, we know that this day, like other days, you've got it in your hand.
Yes, and Lord.
Lord, thank you for your ministry to us, to my family. Thank you for the love that's always around us, Lord. Jesus, use us in your ministry. Use us. Use this church.
You assure us, God. You are somebody to you. And you are the one.
Lord, you do so much.
Please guide us. Strengthen us.
And we are willing to be in your army.
To work for you.
To follow you as our leader. To listen for our orders and respond with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for your word, your stories in our Bibles. Thank you for the example that they give us. And Lord, thank you for the time we spend together. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. I love you.
Amen.